to the Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, which can be found on page 152 of the Red Pew Bible or in the screen behind me. The Apostle Paul reminds us that we are without excuse if we do not love and serve our loving God. The beauty of creation and all of nature reflects a witness that is impossible to miss. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of those who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he has made. So they are without excuse, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being, or birds, or four-footed animals, or reptiles. Here ends our first scripture reading.
Well, if you remember last week, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago when I mentioned how I tore up all the cement in my backyard. And now this past week on Tuesday, I thought, oh, perfect. It looks like it looks like there's going to be a little bit of rain. So I planted the grass seed, and it was bluegrass seed. And it rained a little bit on Wednesday, didn't it? It rained a lot. And so after that rain was over, on Thursday morning we woke up and we saw piles of grass seed in our backyard wherever it was. You can't control the rain. You can't control nature at all, can you? You think you have a way to predict it, but ultimately you really don't. A lot of times at weddings, the groom will come up to me and say, "Hey, can you put in a good word to the big guy as far as our wedding tomorrow on Saturday?" I said, "You know, that's management. I'm in sales." So they don't appreciate that either. Well, today we continue our series on the Apostles' Creed, and in our first week we saw "I believe," and we mentioned how it's not about us at all. And then last week we heard about "I believe in God the Father Almighty," and we talked about the security that we find in our loving God, especially with the fears of Ebola that are raging through our country, especially through the fears of terrorism that we find around us. And we recognize that the only true security that we can find is in an Almighty God. Well, this week we learned about the Maker of heaven and earth. Y'all are distracted, aren't you? So what we have going on behind me, and we're going to have it going on through the whole sermon. I've never done this. And people always said, "Bob, I'm happy for you to use video as long as it's not distracting." Today it's going to be distracting. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is what we find behind us is a depiction of the creation story from the first day all the way through until the seventh. Now, if you came today hoping that we'd get into the whole debate between evolution and creationism, you will leave greatly disappointed, because we're not going to be talking about that. Because, in fact, I believe that's not it misses the point. When we get into those debates, we do real similar to what happens in 1 Kings when the two moms bring that one baby, and Solomon says, "Well, split it in half." When we get into those debates, we miss the point that it was God who created. And both sides say that. Both sides say that God created. It's just in the details where it's different. Now, I may be a creationist, but I know that evolutionary Christians believe in the same God that I do as well. So we're not, that's as much as I'm going to, I said enough to make you angry. So we're not gonna go any further than that today. John Calvin said, we cannot open our eyes without being compelled to see him. Every time, and I think we have an advantage here in Lancaster County, don't we? Every time we open our eyes, we have an opportunity to see our Creator God. Isaac Newton, you know what he said? He said, the marvelous ingenuity of nature is unintelligible except in terms of a belief in God. What God moments have you had in your life where nature was a part of it? Can you think of a time or the many times when you had your breath taken away by the beauty of nature and you knew that God was present by that witness of nature that spoke to you? When I was a senior in high school, I spent a semester in Rome. And during spring break, I went on a Europass in different countries in Europe, and I knew I had to stop in Switzerland, so I went to this place called Interlaken, Switzerland. It means between the lakes. And the train station there just drops you off in the middle of these valleys and these mountains. There's no city or town to be seen. And as I looked out in these valleys and these mountains, I saw this little tower that was off away on a hillside. And I'm a little mischievous. I was more mischievous than I am now. And I said, I want to climb that tower. I had no idea what was there. So I walked and made my way through these paths, made my way through, I think they were yards, and it was a cemetery. And I made my way into the cemetery. Somehow they lock cemeteries in Europe. Go figure. And then I made my way into this tower. I'm not going to give you details, but I just made my way, and I was inside this tower that was about 8 feet by 8 feet, and there are these metal rungs going up the tower on the inside, just like our telephone poles have those metal rungs, identical. It was about 30 feet high, this tower. I climbed up one step up after another, pulled myself up onto the ridge of this tower. There was rock, and I sat down, and I could see birds of prey below me. I mean, I was that high up. And I was so overwhelmed. I was sweating because I felt like I was going to fall. But I was so high up. I could see the cattle and hear their bells. I could see the shepherd and the sheep. I could see the valleys and the two lakes. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. You've had moments when the beauty of God's creation has just taken your breath away. You know, it goes against the grain. All the current studies say that if you're a good pastor, you should read one or two verses and then build a story around that. We're going to go against the grain today. We're going to read all of chapter 1, because that's the story in and of itself. And we're going to just let Scripture speak for itself. Now, I'm going to do something that I've never done before. I'm going to give you permission to close your eyes. And the person next to you will wake you up at 9:30. But I'm going to let you close your eyes if you want. Or you can watch the screen if you want to see the progression of the creation story as it makes its way through. But just feel yourself a part of what's happening in Genesis chapter 1 as we read that third part of the Apostles' Creed, that God was the maker of heaven and earth. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. And God called that dome sky. There was evening, there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly across the earth and fly across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. There was evening, there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the point is that God created. I hope you noticed as we read through that creation story, at the end of everything that was created, God said what? It's good. It is good. There was no evil. There was no sin. There was nothing that God would say, now this is a little shaky. This is bad. I made a little bit of a mistake over here. I've created a situation where the animals and the birds and the fish and the plants and the trees and people can really mess up. I should do something. There was none of that. In fact, even the darkness, even the night, served its purposes under God's plan. it was all good. Folks, that is so important for us to remember. Because oftentimes as we look out on this world, what do we think? It is bad, right? When we look at the news, when we look at everything else, we think there is no room for God. What God created, it had to have something that wasn't good because of how bad things are. That's not at all the picture that we have before us this morning. When God created, it was perfect. It was just as he wanted. Now, it's the next chapter where we start to mess things up. But we're not there yet. And the Apostles' Creed isn't there yet either. Right now in the Apostles' Creed, all we have is these things that are good. The magnitude of God, the power of God, his ability to create, his ability to give us every single thing that we need on the face of the earth for perfection. That's what we were given. Now, Paul in Romans, he talks a little bit about a dangerous offshoot when we when we see nature for what it's not. Today in the world, I'm not going to say more than any other time, because even Paul faced that when he was in Athens. But in the New Age movement and many other movements, I love your faces, by the way. It's really appealing to see you guys entertained with what's going on back there. But it's okay. I told you you'd be distracted. What we find Paul saying, and also especially today in a New Age movement and some other religious movements, is this focus on nature as God itself. You hear, I can find God when I look at a beautiful flower. Or an attempt to, in some polytheistic way, describe God as some kind of animate object. Or none of us really find God in an inanimate object, in an object that we've created. But there's a temptation when you sit on a tower in Interlaken to say, now this is God. It's not. It's a witness to God. It's a depiction of who God wants us to realize he is. That's a huge difference. If we look at the revelation and think that revelation is God as opposed to the one who reveals it to us, then we have problems. God is not nature. In Romans, if you go to Romans chapter 1, I know you can't take your eyes off the screen, but go with me, if you will, to Romans. Don't turn there, Leah. Just keep the video going. Thank you. In Romans chapter 1, we find Paul saying that very same thing. He says that we have exchanged the revelation, the vehicle of revelation, for God himself. And you find that in verses 18 through 23. It's what we read earlier. And the reason why Paul comes down so hard on these verses, and the reason why it plays such a fundamental part of our faith when we say that we believe in the maker of heaven and earth, is that if we don't recognize God as our creator, then we stop having fellowship with him. When we don't recognize God as the one who has the ability to create and continually create, then we refuse to recognize God as master. And folks, when we refuse to recognize God as master, well, then all of a sudden, something or someone else is master. Was man just created? Is that what happened? Yeah, I love that part. If you look at Scripture, what you will find is that the root of human sin is what? What do we replace God with more often than not? Remember, we learned it. Ourselves. And we saw that in Adam and Eve. We saw that in Adam and Eve as it plays itself out. But what our creed does, what the Apostles' Creed allows us to do, is it allows us to turn our eyes away from ourselves toward this Creator God. Now, when we look at nature, we may see that witness, And we may recognize that there's something, like Isaac Newton said, there's something far greater than me. There's something far greater than just living my life for myself. And it may open our eyes to see the creation and give thanks to the Creator. But from there, it needs to lead to a realization that yes, we've made idols in our own lives. And oftentimes, we are those idols in our lives. But then it has to turn us to Jesus Christ. We can't stay stuck within the context of realizing that God is the maker of heaven and earth without being shown Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the one who always, always referred everything back to the Father. Do you notice that? When Jesus speaks and people try to give him praise and honor, he always points it back up to the Father. Christ Jesus lived a life of obedience to the Maker of heaven and earth. And in so doing, not only showed us the way, but provided us a way through this life. Brothers and sisters, today, you won't forget today. I know you won't. I hope you remember what was said. Not that you watched the movie in church. I don't want you leaving saying, yeah, this Sunday we watched the movie in church. I hope you were able to see the creation of heaven and earth. But more importantly, I hope you were able to see the Maker of heaven and earth. Don't ever exchange the creation for the Creator. And always allow the creation to point yourself back to Jesus Christ, who loved you so much that he died for your sin. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you today and we give you praise and honor for how you always make us turn our eyes away from ourselves, away even from creation, even away from those things that we've put together with our own hands so that we can always look and focus upon you and you alone. Teach us today, Lord, that when we say, I believe in an almighty God, that we're also saying that we believe in the Maker of heaven and earth, who is our Master and our Lord. We pray this in Jesus' holy name.